Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Bert Show.
I looked at my 17-year-old this weekend, and this week really, and I felt like he was going down the same sort of dysfunctional pattern that I have been fighting most of my life, and that's not embracing and celebrating even little wins. I've never been good at that, man. It's always the next thing, it's the next thing, it's the next thing, and I'm almost like internally expecting myself to reach certain milestones, and then when I get there, I don't celebrate them. I just never have. I mean, celebrating things in my family was never a really big deal, so I guess personal stuff like that doesn't, I haven't really embraced it either. So I'm looking at my 17-year-old, and I had to fire off a text to him this weekend because I'm so dang proud of him that I'm getting emails like almost every week now from colleges that he's been accepted to. And he's been real humble about it, and he hasn't really been letting me in or his mom in on the excitement of getting these acceptance letters and email. And I think it's because now that he has his sights set on one school, which is UGA, he really wants to be a dog, right? That he's getting acceptance letters from other schools that were a little bit easier to get into. Man, it is hard to get into UGA now. As I understand it, back in the day, UGA, if you were in Georgia, was just kind of the commuter school. That was your safety school. You could get in at Georgia if you didn't get in everywhere else. You always had like Georgia to get into. They'll take anybody. And it is not like that anymore, man. You got to be a really great student.
For SEC, I mean, it's a 37% acceptance rate, which is low.
Yeah, I wonder if you can find what that statistic was like 20 years ago. Because I remember when I first got to Atlanta, people were like, oh, I'll just go to Georgia. So he's been accepted to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, I believe Coastal Carolina now, and he also got accepted to the University of North Georgia, which happened like on Thursday, right? But in all honesty, to be completely transparent with you guys, my kid has never gotten bad grades. He just hasn't gotten UGA grades. He just hasn't gotten Vandy grades, Florida grades, right? And the last year, he has really taken it very seriously to bring up his entire GPA. He's taking more honors classes, and dude has been crushing it this year. And he has raised his GPA significantly, but still probably not great enough to get into UGA, which we won't know until March. But I think in his head, he already knows he's not going to get that letter.
Of course, grades, GPA is essential when you're applying to college. But I think, too, extracurriculars, community service, like all that stuff is very important as well.
Yeah. We know somebody that got a 1540 in Florida. I think I might have told you this last week. A friend of a friend got a 1540 on the SAT and had a 4.2 GPA, applied to Florida State and Vandy and a bunch of other schools, but didn't have those extracurriculars or had them lined up and then quit them all. So I think the schools took a look at it and they're like, wait a minute. This kid's not very committed to whatever he's applying himself to. So he's been rejected from every school with a 1540 SAT.
That's crazy.
Crazy, yeah, right?
Wow.
So Hollis is getting these acceptance letters, and he's still waiting on UGA, and he's got Auburn out there also, but that's a tough school to get into now also. Auburn used to be the school that you could get into. More people were applying because you couldn't get into Georgia, so I'll just apply to Auburn, and Auburn would take you. Those days are gone now also. You can't even get into Auburn now. So he's getting these acceptance letters, but they're not the schools that he wanted, and they have lower acceptance rates than other schools, and he's got a game plan now, and his game plan is to go to UNG, and he just got in, and he was up there this weekend visiting friends from his high school that got accepted that have been there for a year. So he went up there, hung out with them. They showed him around Athens based on his locations all night long. they showed him Athens.
Breaking him in.
They're breaking him in big time. And he came back and he was telling me how great a time he had, but he was also like picking their brains on how many credits they have to get and how to do it properly in order to transfer from University of North Georgia to Georgia. And he's building himself like a nice foundation of friends. So he's doing it right. You know, I was really proud of him. So then he left again the next day to go hang out with friends all day long to watch the Super Bowl. So as I said last week, you are not an empty nester when your kid goes to college. You are an empty nester when your kid gets his car.
Yep.
And I found that this weekend also. So I shot him off this text and I said, I know these aren't the schools you get excited about, but capital letters, I want you to be proud of yourself, man. There are a lot of students that don't have your grades that would love to have acceptance letters like you're getting. You've worked really hard this last year and have a great game plan. This is a big deal. Embrace it. I'm very, very proud of you. And he sent me a text back that said, thanks, Dad. I'm just grateful that I even get an opportunity to get the level of education that I do so that I could get into college. So thank you for that. Love you.
Aww.
How about that?
Beautiful message. So my kid is getting it. Yeah. He's for sure getting it. I just want him to be really feel like these small wins in life. And getting accepted to any college is not a small win. It's like a big win. It's not the one he wants yet. Mm-hmm. But these are little, what's the word I'm looking for? Little marks of success that he should really go, you know what? I'm very proud of myself.
Are you guys going to do like a big graduation party or a big graduation trip?
Graduation party. Stacy and I are doing it together. It's going to be over at my house.
Nice. Yeah.
Hey.
It's a Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. That's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
The Burt Show.
It's a different attitude when you're a grandparent, man. Kids come over, the grandkids come over, you fill them up with sugar, man, because that's your love language. So you're giving it to your grandkids, and then you hand them on back to the parents, and it's like they just did an eight ball of cocaine, and you can't calm them down, and it's not good for them. So Aaron wanted our help last week with a texting tutor to hit her mother-in-law up and go, hey, I know you guys are showing her the love with all the sugar and all, but can you cool it this weekend when you have the kids? Because we're really trying to do a health pivot here. Man, we could have been in here for 4 hours texting with that mother-in-law. What a pain in the ass. And she just was digging in and digging in and digging in. So it didn't end well, our texting tutor. It just was kind of hanging there, actually.
Well, I mean, we involved doctors and we involved medical tests. And she essentially, the mother-in-law, called us out. Like, she was like, I think you're just saying all of this so I don't give them sugar and you're ruining our weekend. I had a big weekend planned. We were going to go to a candy store and I was going to get them a bunch of Valentine's Day candy since I'm not going to see them for Valentine's Day. And then everything ended with her saying, I'm going to contact your husband. And if I'm remembering the words correctly, so he can get his house in order.
Ooh. I think that was it.
I think that was it. And I think that's how the texting tutor ended.
And the mother-in-law is like, they can only have juvenile diabetes while they're juveniles. Okay, so I've got a goal. Hey, Aaron, how did it go this weekend?
Well, I imagine you can pretty much guess that the texting exchange with her about the sugar intake, it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah, she did follow through on her threat, like she mentioned. She ended up calling my husband in tears. And, of course, you know, he fell for that. That's his mom. And you know, of course, he completely took her side, which is not a shock at all. He didn't care for what was stated. He was extremely livid. The fact that I lied about a doctor visit. So it put me on the side of being the villain about lying about that. And it really, you know, hurt her feelings. And no one really saw my side, that all I wanted for my kids was to eat something that wasn't 90% corn syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we got a reoccurring theme on the show here. It's just that dude's not manning up, you know, like standing up.
Yeah.
This is what your wife wants. This is what we decided as a family. You did decide that as a family, right? About the sugar thing?
You know, it was more me than him.
Oh, he didn't know. Okay. That kind of changes things.
Okay, there you go.
No, I kind of went rogue on that.
Well, here's the problem is that he didn't buy into all that. So when your mother-in-law gave pushback rather than him saying, you know what, this is my wife. Yep. That's my number one woman right there. He doesn't feel like it's a big deal, so he wouldn't man up to his mom over it, right?
Right, exactly. Yep. So it wasn't looking pretty. I mean, we fought with each other and just escalated. You know, tensions were obviously high. And with all that going on, we ended up canceling the plans. So there wasn't a need to have them babysit after all, which, you know, to me worked out because that I didn't want my kids on sugar and hyped up the whole week that I had to deal with them being sick. So unfortunately, he took it upon himself since we weren't speaking to go ahead and take he decided to take the kids over to his parents' house anyways, and without notifying me.
Oh,
right?
No.
Yeah.
I get him wanting to defend mom, but I still feel like he should have understood the bottom line of all of this enough to understand that he should have been on the right side of history here.
Like, is this not a common thought? Or maybe there's a debate here that, and maybe we've talked about this before, that your mom is always your number one versus your mom becomes number two once you get married.
Technically, like, your spouse is supposed to be number one, and then if you have kids, your kids are your number two, and then everybody else is number three.
It seemed obvious to me. I mean, as a man who has always been, like, number one to his mom, and his mom has been number one to me, I'm not even married yet, but I'm with my girlfriend 70% of my life. I'm choosing her. It just makes my life easier. It seemed pretty easy.
The numbers are numbering.
Yeah, the math is mathing for
That's
me.
What I don't understand is why wouldn't you want to make the person you spend literally every single day and night with the happiest? Like, I understand you're a mama's boy. She raised you. You want to show her respect. But at the end of the day, like, I want my life to be as easy as possible. And I'm doing that by placating the person I am sleeping next to every night.
If we did a poll, mm-hmm. like, which is the more popular side, that mom is always number one no matter who you get married, or mom becomes number two once you got married, what would the split be, you think?
Oh, I thank my lucky stars that I do not have to deal with this with my husband and his mother. And I'm thinking about my friend group and looking at my friend group, and doesn't have an issue, has an issue. Doesn't have an issue, has an issue. I'm going to say 50-50.
50-50, you think?
I think before I started the show, I would have said 50-50. Now I think 70-30, who's going to take mom?
Yeah, everyone's calling up. It's 80-20 for me.
Yeah. So how are you guys planning on rectifying this?
Well, I honestly need help, because I feel, you know, he took her side, and the kids were exactly like I told y'all. They ended up going to the candy store, like the mother-in-law mentioned through the text, and just came home with pillowcases of sugar and candy. I mean,
digging in
level, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously a huge jab. You know, everyone wanted to stick it to me, right? And so I honestly don't know what to do. I'm extremely frustrated. I'm outnumbered in this, and my husband's not even on my side. And like y'all said, we're supposed to be partners in this, you know? And I feel like I'm going to give up, but my kids are going to be sick. So I don't know.
Well, there's so much more. I don't mean to make it worse, but there's more here. You know, there's conversation about him not having your back. I mean, that's why you're supposed to get married and be in love. Is like, I got you no matter what, boo. Like, out there, I will always have you. Now, when we get into the house, we might argue about it a little bit, but in front of everybody else, oh, I got you. So this is more than sugar and the kids also, and I think there's a conversation there.
Yeah, that's how I was always raised, that if we could fight in the house and not being on the same team in the house, but when we go out this house, it's always us against the world.
Vanessa here says we made one big-time flaw. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So it actually made me cringe when you guys decided to go the route of bringing in doctors and a medical diagnosis, because, first of all, obviously that was never going to go over. The mom is going to call her son and verify, and he's going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So as soon as she did that, she's automatically the villain, because she's not only in the mother-in-law's eyes, like, trying to keep her kids away from the grandkids away from her, but she's making up this, like, elaborate medical diagnosis. Like, it was just the wrong way to go about it from the start. She just really needed to dig in and be honest that, like, hey, I don't mind a little bit of spoiling the kids, but we have to keep it to a minimum. And I think this would have gone a way different way.
Yeah, I coined a phrase a while ago that caught on, and that's called, that ship has sailed. And people have picked up on that.
That's a good one. Yeah. I also coined one, too. Told you so.
Hey, Jen, good morning. You think you can help out here?
I mean, I don't know, but I do know that I feel terrible for this mother. From so many different perspectives. I'm married. I can't imagine if my spouse didn't have my back like that. I'm a young mom. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I'm a type 2 diabetic, and sugar is literally poisoning our kids. It's making us overweight. It's causing all kinds of health issues, and it just feels really icky that the family would not get behind this mother and support her. And I feel really bad for her, but diabetes is a real thing, and that is something for her to really worry about. And I have to talk to my little 4-year-old about it. She'll say, Mommy, does this juice have sugar in it? And I feel bad. Like, am I overdoing it with her? But, you know, my spouse has my back, so I feel for her, and I hope that they can get on board behind her.
Thank you for calling. And if you have a problem with your 4-year-old and explaining that, we can text the 4-year-old for you. That's why we call it texting tutor. All right, Aaron, good luck with that. You really are in a tight spot there, and I'm sorry we couldn't help you out better.
Aaron, thanks. Appreciate it.
I think we should coin a new term called divorce, and that's what should happen after this conversation.
All right, coming up in a couple of seconds here, you might not have known it, but the Super Bowl was played yesterday. And nobody was talking about it.
I don't think the Chiefs knew either.
So if you missed any of the highlights, Mo's a little bitter because he lost five grand. You have to take those shots for a day. If you missed any of the highlights, don't worry about it. Our producer Mikey and our producer Rebecca are going to watch some highlights from the Super Bowl yesterday, and they are going to tell you exactly what happened, even though neither one of them have watched the Super Bowl or a Super or any kind of game, NFL game, at all this season.
I'm going to put money on the fact that I think they're going to do better than Tom Brady. You guys got this.
Wow, that's just the bar set low. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'll say 100 times a year, I appreciate those people. And those people, like our producer Mikey, our producer Rebecca, my artistic son Hayden, that couldn't care less about sports. Man, that must be such a great place to be in. 100 times a year when my team loses, or I'm invested another 3.5 hours on watching them lose, or I go online and I see they're not making trades or getting free agents in the offseason, like I'm really part of the team. What a waste of time.
It's right. A toxic relationship that you literally sign up to be a part of every single year, and I can't figure out why.
Think of all of the 3.5 hours. Add them all up in your head on how much you've wasted watching professional and college sports. In your head, how many years are you talking about off your life?
Probably half of it. I mean, it's been quite a bit, and the money on top of that, all of the money that you put in to support it, yeah, it's taking a toll on my mental health for sure.
I was at a Super Bowl bar last night, and there was one guy trying to recruit me to his fandom. He's like, "We've got this, this, and this, and you look great in blue. The Giants are going to be great in like 10 years." I know. I'm sitting here, I'm like, this feels like a burden. I don't want to sign up for. So it's like a lot of money,
especially
and time.
That team, man.
I was like, "Oh, you're going to bat for the Giants? They're cults. They're just little mini cults." All right, so Mikey, you have no affiliation with any college teams or with any professional teams across the sports landscape.
No affiliation. I couldn't tell you if a team is college or what's it called?
Professional.
Professional. If it's college or football. You said it all. Okay. You said it all.
Very
right
well
there.
Yeah, I got nothing.
We should do that game where we give him different team logos and we have him guess what it is.
Is it just football or is it all the sports?
I don't know nothing about nothing.
All the sports. How much time did you spend watching football this NFL season? That's National Football League.
0 minutes.
No minutes.
I'll be at a party where we're supposed to be watching football. I'll do everything in my power to not look at the screen. It's become, I have a resentment against it now because everyone else knows about it. So now I go out of my way to not watch football.
That is glorious.
So, did you watch any of the Super Bowl last night?
No, we turned on the halftime show. And that's it. And I shouldn't have even done that. Because a couple years ago, I vowed I will never watch another Super Bowl again. I hate it every time. It seems fun. It turns out to just be football.
What else did you think?
I don't know. Fireworks.
They're going to break out. It's like a musical. Rebecca, how many minutes did you spend watching football this season?
Well, last night I watched 3 hours of the Puppy Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was an upset.
Was there?
I was upset when it ended.
Probably a much better game, I would imagine.
Yeah, no doubt. Right?
It was fun.
How much time do you think in your life you have ever spent sitting down and watching a football game?
Ooh, probably like a good 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes your entire life.
Like my eyes on the screen watching absolutely 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
And where did you go to college?
I went to art school. So I went to Savannah, SCAD.
Shocking.
Yeah, it's shocking. We didn't have a football team. So
yeah. Hayden knows that. He's so happy. All right. So Tommy, how is this going to work here? Because we're going to have the two people on the show here. We're going to show them some highlights from the Super Bowl. And they, if you missed the game last night, will do the play-by-play and the color on the highlights.
That's exactly how it'll work, Bert. And then after they attempt to do their play-by-play, we'll let the real announcers do it and see what they actually sounded like for the play. So, Rebecca, you're going to be up first. These are some of the biggest highlights from last night's big game. And Rebecca, this is your play.
All right. What's so it? You got two people on a team, on a broadcasting team.
Okay.
You've got the one that tells you exactly what is going on the field as it's happening. Mm-hmm. And the other one is explaining afterwards what just happened on that play.
Oh, so they're going to do it together. They're not competing against each other. That's fine.
Yeah, I because that's what you do. You do it in tandem. Yeah, somebody's play tandem. By play and somebody's color.
You guys are a team. Okay. All right.
Can I do play by play?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
I have a feeling both of you are going to be Tom Brady.
Tell me two colors over there.
All right. Here we go, guys. Here's your first play.
Here we are, first line there. They're looking at you. Oh, they're all hitting each other. The guys in the green are over the guys in the red, and it is not looking good. It's a dog pile. It's a dog fight. It's a left center tackle.
Yes, Mikey, this is a very upsetting play. The players in green lined up on the pitch. They crouched like little tigers, and then they sort of pounced on each other. I assume the red was Kansas City, and they were not happy that that happened, and they got over onto the yellow rectangle, which is very, very bad. Very, very bad for the dark gray-green team. I see Jalen Hurts. He's cute.
All right, so you said, according to your color, it was whatever. What just happened is bad for the guys in the green costumes.
Red guys were on the green.
Okay,
guys,
hold
right?
on, hold on. Actually, no. I let me take that back because the red team, their back was to the big yellow rectangle that said Chiefs on it. So I'm going to assume that diving over onto the yellow rectangle was in fact a good play for the dark green, the bird team.
The bird team with Jalen Hurts on it.
Yes.
All right. Let's hear how these amateurs on TV described it last night.
Hurts on the sneak. Drives his way in. Touchdown.
Very, very similar.
Touchdown. In no time did they say touchdown.
No.
And on their screen, in big white and gold letters, is the word touchdown.
I didn't notice that.
And Tom Brady did not once refer to the end zone as the big yellow rectangle.
Yeah, the end zone.
All right, Mikey, over to you. It is now your turn. I'm queuing up the next play. Are you ready?
Am I still doing play-by-play?
All right, yeah. You guys, same assignment.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Worked so well the first time, sure.
Here we go.
All right. Here we go. They're walking around. We're at the 30. We're at the 20. They're walking around. He hit him on the head. They're pointing around. They're pointing around. The ball is thrown. The guy's on the run. He's on the run. He don't like him. He's tackled him. Yeah, no good. No good. Something happened.
Something happened. I promise something happened.
All right, yes. Rebecca.
So they lined up in sort of a goose formation. The score at this point is Love 10 KC. It seemed like there was some sort of little dance. I did lose the ball immediately. I could not see where it was, but there was a pileup on the line that says 20, I think, 2-0. There was a line there.
2-0.
Yeah, people were hopping around. They hopped out. It didn't look like it went very far, which I have heard is very productive in football.
When they don't go far, it's productive.
I've heard that's consistent. Obviously, that's my professional opinion.
That was a lot worse than I imagined it could be.
Yeah.
Here's what it really sounded like.
Eagles, and so far looking good in the first half of this game. Here's Mahomes. Pressure right away. Mahomes is sacked. Josh Sweat gets home.
All right. Yeah. Can we do one more?
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Okay.
One more. This is what I would say was the most exciting play of the night. I need to cue it up. Give me a second.
All right.
All right. Here we go. We are ready.
Oh, he's running. He's running. Oh, okay. Are we at the beginning here? Okay.
Here it is. Right here.
All right, here we go. Looks like a classic pick six to me. It's going to the guy. It's going to the guy. Oh, wait, no, he hasn't thrown it yet. There he goes. It's going way down there, way down. Referee, oh, no, he got tackled in the end zone. Don't know what that means, but it could be good, could be bad. We're going to wait and see what the ref says.
It's on the screen for you now, Mikey.
Touchdown.
There you go.
So I did see a very, very long throw. It looks like he threw it to the person he was trying to throw it to, which is a very good thing. I do see the words touchdown in gold, which is promising for this team. The eagle is on his shoulder, so that was for the Eagles. I can't remember how much a touchdown costs. I think it's like I think it's like 7 points, so that's 7 points.
It's six.
For the 6 points for the birds, and I really like the little hug they gave each other.
again.
Lower leg area, and just Maddox comes in and makes a huge play. Now the Eagles get it back. We're going to run some clock, or maybe it's throw the dagger. Hurts going deep for it all. Devontae Smith, he has got it. Touchdown.
That costs six. That costs six.
Expensive it is.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
I was kind of bored during the halftime, Kendrick Lamar's halftime performance, to be honest with you. I think in past years now, we've built up halftime performances as such this big spectacle, man.
Over the top, man.
Over the top. We got to have lights, and we got to have lasers and fire trucks and roller skates, swimming pools. It's a little bit of everything, man. I mean, they've become so big that I think last night when Kendrick Lamar was making more of a performance art statement than he was a spectacle, most of us that don't really understand music very well walked away from the thing going, that was kind of lame.
I think it's very easy to miss the message for sure, because what Kendrick did last night was a cinematic performance of actually delivering a message to everybody in the world on the world's largest platform. So for if you did miss it, there's probably reasons as to why. I think some of it was actually on purpose. So all morning we've been kind of going over some of what these messages may have meant and the symbolism in between. Some of these that I've been reading all morning, because I know the thing about Kendrick is you have to watch something two or three times and you got to give it a day or two. That's why I was not looking forward to coming in here and giving my opinion, because I'm like, I know I'm going to sound stupid on some of these things because the man just goes deep and it's hard to decipher which messages he's trying to get across, because a lot of the times it could be two or three things out of one thing.
I think most people were just looking for the tea during halftime last night. Is he going to call out Drake? Is he going to use a couple of lines in that song that surely are going to continue and hurt him in a lawsuit? And that's really the only thing that people were talking about beforehand.
And I feel like that's some of the brilliance in it, is you would watch it and think that that's all he was doing was dissing Drake. But in fact, he was doing a lot more. And so I was reading this morning and what a lot of people seem to agree on. Some of these we have touched on and we caught. Some of these we didn't. Like some people believe that the entire message itself is a nod to when slaves used to use coded messages in order to communicate with each other and to keep their masters from knowing what exactly was going on.
Oh, wow.
So he did that on the largest platform possible for a hip hop artist, which within itself is monumental.
And what would make, when you're looking at that halftime show, what would make people say that's what he was trying to do?
Well, some of these messages that I'm going to go through now will be a perfect example of how you probably didn't even realize that that's what he was doing. So one of the obvious ones, you start with Samuel L. Jackson, who narrates it as his character in Django, where he talks about what Uncle Sam is demanding from black people within the country. At some point, he tells Kendrick to play the game that Americans want you to play and don't be ghetto. That's Kendrick saying we have to play a certain game in order to be looked at a certain way, because because Samuel Jackson also says you better do what, quote unquote, they want, because that's black people who are always getting told we're too abrasive when we're simply just fighting for our rights. That's what the message was in that. The red, blue, and white dancers all symbolized different things throughout the entire performance. They represented their American flag to a lot, in which there was a scene when they split in half and Kendrick is in the middle. That's his way of saying that the country is really divided, and it's always been that way. Another one is when everybody bends over, all of the dancers bend over and give their backs, and then Kendrick stands up in the middle. That's his way of saying that America was built off of the backs of black people, and we don't get the credit we deserve on top of that. The colors also signify Bloods and Crips, whereas this is a message where you might watch it and think that the red, blue, and white was all about the country and the country only, but it wasn't. It was also about how he is trying to unify the Bloods and the Crips. That's what the white represented. It was a peace treaty between the red and the blue, which would be the Bloods and the Crips, which he's also trying to do because he's from the West Coast. He's from L.A. Other things, the Squid Games being on stage. Kristen mentioned that earlier. That is a thing. It symbolizes the rich people killing the poor. His chain, the lowercase a, everybody saw the A minor in that, but a lot of people are now also saying that that represented America not being exactly what it should be and how powerful it should be. Standing on the corners, there was a part where all of the black people were standing on a corner by a light pole. That's the symbolism of how you keep blacks on corners in America, is because you don't want them to come up. There was also the prison yard, which had the same exact reference in there. The revolution will be televised comes from a poem from Jill Scott Heron, where he said famously that the revolution will not be televised, saying you can't just sit on the sidelines and think that and watch the revolution go by. You got to get up and give action, which is why Kendrick said it will be televised now, and you picked the right time but the wrong guy, meaning him. And there's another obvious reference there that I won't touch on. In the crowd, he gave a sign warning. A lot of people felt that was a shot towards Drake. But other people feel like that's actually a sign of him feeling like the country is going the wrong way and we need to wake up and figure it out before it's too late. Serena Williams was, a lot of people saw that as only him finding one of Drake's exes to take a shot at Drake. That part was obvious, but in him, they feel like it's the deeper message is he's mad at Drake for using black culture when he's not really a part of black culture, and he doesn't like the way that Drake does things like attack black women. So putting Serena up there was Kendrick's way of showing I'm going to protect black women against the likes of the people who are like Drake. That's another one I feel like a lot of people missed. And in the end, they're not like us. Everybody saw that as the diss song, but with Kendrick's deeper message in that was us as black people, they are not like us. And these are the things that we have to do, which is why he ended with TV off as the last song, because it kind of symbolized black entertainers in America always having to perform for those in the stands, and they capitalize off of us while also still not giving us the credit we deserve.
So there was a lot there. That's a lot there to unpack.
I probably didn't catch half of them, to be honest.
And that's probably the tip of the iceberg. And like, as you said, as the days go by, I'm sure more stuff will become like more prevalent.
100%.
The Burt Show.
For our job, this is probably the biggest turnoff that can happen during a first date.
Oof, there is one thing that I know is going to happen to me every single time I go on a date, other than getting ghosted. And it's that my date at some point is going to either act like he has never heard about my job, but I can totally tell that he has Googled me, or he is going to bring up something I've said on the show.
When you go out on first dates now, what is the percentage that you assume a person has looked you up or not?
I always assume, because I Google them. Yeah, and then if you find me, it's like a gold mine. Like, I am out there. Like, there is not a single part of me that's not out there. So I go in assuming, and I'm usually assuming correctly, because I have yet to go on a date where they haven't brought it up or alluded to it in some way. So I have been trying to fight it, and there was a guy I recently went out with that I really thought I was going to be able to get away with it for, because he's not on social media, or he is, but he's like kind of not really on it. And I could tell just by the way he was talking to me, because he still seemed interested, that he hadn't Googled me yet. And I was like, I am going to use this. I'm going to catch lightning in a bottle. And this is going to be the first time I'm going to get to go out with a guy, and he's going to have no idea about anything I've talked about this week. So I get on Hinge. I match with this guy. It's going really well. I shared it with Kristen. I was like, the banter was bantering. The vibes were there, and I could just tell this guy was equally interested in me as I was to him.
Y'all, this convo was just chef's kiss. Like, it was, you could tell the chemistry and the jokes were hitting, and the sarcasm and the satire was just right. Like, the two of them, it was like, it was just so perfect.
It's exactly the way you want like a first conversation to go with, especially over text. And notoriously, I hate texting. It is my least favorite thing to do. I think sometimes guys rely on it too much to show personalities over the internet they don't have in real life. So then you feel like you're kind of getting personality catfished. It's just not my favorite thing to do. But he was really good at it. So I was like, oh, this is like a good time.
And so were you.
And so was I. I'm not going to lie. I'm really good at this flirting thing. And I'm a big fan of just meeting as soon as possible. Let's just meet and decide if we like each other, because no matter how good you are over text, if the vibes aren't right in person, it's just not right and you can't fight it.
And his face card was good too.
And his face card was good too.
It was cute.
So, yeah. Things were lining up really well. So yeah, this is about to go downhill. So anyway, he lives in another city a couple hours away and he's like, I would really love to drive up to Atlanta and take you out on a date. And I said, my guy, this is not my first rodeo. Do not drive 5 hours to go on a date where we might possibly hate each other. Let's get on FaceTime. Let's just see if the vibes are there. And if we like each other, then we'll go out in real life.
This was the first time you've ever suggested a FaceTime date with the dude you have been talking to on one of your dating apps.
This is my first FaceTime date. So that went down last week.
Great idea.
I was really nervous because he texted me again on Monday. And I love that he had given me some space over the weekend because I communicated that I don't like texting. So then he didn't text me over the weekend. And then on Monday, he touched base. He's like, do you want to get together? And I was like, yes, I do. Want to get together because I think I love you. And you know, we had some really great banter on Monday. We set up a time on Wednesday, and it was very weird, like getting ready for a date to happen in my apartment, because I'm like, how ready is he gonna get? Because he texted me like when he was done from work, he's like, do you want to get on FaceTime now? I'm like, are you gonna get ready? So I guess I don't need to get ready. So I did my hair, but I did like a little bit of makeup because it's like 7 p.m in my apartment, so it'd be very weird if I had like a full beat on.
How long did you spend on the lighting?
The lighting, actually not a lot at all. I was trying to test like my different computer lightings. Like, should I go super bright? Should I be like glowing? Should I be in the dark? Which, like, how can I make this lighting to my advantage considering I have little to no makeup on?
And background, are you going to different spots around your apartment to see like what background, or are you just going into like green screen and doing some kind of rando background behind
you? Yeah, you're in Thailand.
Hey, well, howdy from Texas or wherever I am. No, I just sat on my couch. I was doing some work. I was doing some editing for my podcast because, again, I like to put myself in an environment where I'm not totally centering this person. So I was like, what would I be doing right now at 7 p.m.? I'd be sitting on my couch, I'd be watching Outlander, and I'd be doing edits for my podcast. So that's exactly what I'm going to do before he calls me.
You're supposed to have food or drinks?
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, maybe we're going to have like a drink date. Are we going to be cooking together? This is my first rodeo. I don't know what's happening. So I send him a text around 7. I said, hey, I'm finishing up stuff if you want to give me a call. So he sees the text. He pulls up his phone. He calls me, and there he is. And I'm like, hi. And it's just so weird. We're both just like sitting there with like our respective beverages. I've got a coffee. He's got like a kombucha or something. And we're sitting there talking. And I'm like, okay, this is going pretty well. And
so
like,
it wasn't weird.
It wasn't weird. We were sussing out the vibes. It was a little weird at first because it's like, okay, what do we talk about? And the first thing that comes up, and this is always the first thing that comes up on my dates, is so about that job thing. Because I had kind of given him a nudge to not Google me. I specifically said, please do not Google me before this date. It'll actually really upset me. In like a more fun, playful way. There was a whole conversation, but I basically said, do not Google me. Like, let's meet me and then you can Google me.
You tell me that and that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know.
I think you're trying to hide something.
It was kind of a funny, flirty thing because he asked me what I did for work and I was like, God, he must have already Googled me if he's asking me this question. And I joked, I was a foot OnlyFans person. And then he was like, haha. And I was like, I'm not. Just don't Google me, please. So we get on the phone call and it immediately comes up and I tell him that blah, 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 I'm a radio person. And I can see in his eyes, he's already done the Google thing. And so I just look at him and I go, so what did you find? And that's when the tone kind of shifted. It was like really good at first. And then all of a sudden I could kind of see him like look up and sort of ponder whether or not he should say something or not. And he said, yeah, I was looking through all the clips. I just clicked on all the ones with you as the screenshot on it. And I was like, do you have any concerns or questions? Can I give you any context for things? And he goes, well, there was this one clip I wanted to ask you about. And I go, which one was that? And I'm thinking it's the London boy story. Like me being a crazy, not ex-girlfriend flying to London to see this man for a second date. And he goes, there was this one clip where I saw you in front of a White House. And I was like, oh, our political smear campaign ads and
the political attack ads we did.
The political attack ads. That's what he brought up. And I go, okay. And so we go through the rest of the date. I thought it went well. He brought up a second date and I was like, oh, we'll go on a second date. But then we get off the call and he doesn't text me. I was like, that's a little weird. So then I was like, let me go to the Burt Show Instagram and let me see what he saw that he was so concerned by that he needed to bring up. And just as a fun reminder, this is what this man heard.
Abby Murphy might be a lot of things, but a serious candidate for public office is not one of them. Will she even realize that she's been elected?
I like smoking pot a lot.
Even during the few minutes she isn't high, Abby doesn't seem to grasp any reality.
But I know sometimes you gotta pretty yourself up more than you gotta ugly yourself down or ugly yourself up, whatever it is.
She doesn't take the issues seriously. Remember the time she finally got meetings in the White House to discuss what she called America's biggest concerns? What did she and Kamala talk about?
We were talking about what each other's vaginas look like.
And while she wouldn't reveal the details of her secret meetings with President Biden, she had no problem boasting these lies.
But I have seen his penis.
What?
Hey, many times.
The one positive we can say about Abby Murphy, she's very self-aware.
Deep down, I'm pretty stupid.
This is Abby Murphy.
Penis. Penis. Penis.
Sponsored by For the Love of God, Don't Vote for Abby Murphy. We're pretty sure even Abby Murphy would approve this message.
Deep down, I'm pretty stupid.
Look how red her face is right now.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know what those are, if you're new around here, we take clips from The Burt Show and we put them, they're totally out of context. But right before the election, when all these smear campaigns are going, yeah, we do one for each other and we take these clips and totally play them out of context. So this is the clip that this dude heard.
I tried to explain it to him. I was like, because he kept pressing me on it. I was like, why is he asking me about this so much? I was like, yeah, it's just like stuff they take out of context. It's just supposed to be funny. And he was like, oh, okay. And I'm, because this guy's in the military, so he's just like very straight laced. And I can just tell that this is not hitting right with him. But yeah, that was pretty sobering. And I was a little concerned because I'm like, we did that back in October. I'm like, you watched videos all the way back to October? Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it was November because it was literally right before the election.
Yeah.
So I'll give him a month. However, I witnessed the conversation. Like, you guys had jokes. Like, he made jokes. This is so obviously a joke about political attack ads. Like, how would you not? And everything that's being said is literally getting taken out of context. How would he not see it that way?
I don't know. I just get the sense that he wasn't about the whole radio thing, because then we get off the call, I send him a text, I'm like, nice meeting you, blah 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 blah, just to be nice. Yeah. And to be fair, just to save my pride here a little bit, I was kind of like, I don't think we're compatible right now, but if he had the same sense of humor as he did over text, right, in person, maybe it would work. Mm-hmm. So I was still open to it. And then, you know, I didn't hear from, he texted me back and then I didn't hear from him for a day, and then 24 hours later he sends me a text and he's like, hey, lovely meeting you. I just don't think we're compatible. Wow. And I was like, I just feel like, I just get the sense that this dude is way too straight-laced for it all. And I had to save my pride a little bit. I sent him a text back and I was like, I feel the same. I feel the same.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah,
yeah. Lucky for him, you didn't make him drive 5 hours to figure it out.
I told him, I was like, wasn't the FaceTime date a great idea? You're welcome.
You should say, hey, you owe me $150 because it would have cost you that much in gas.
Yeah. So charge. I saved you money. My Venmo is at Abby Murphy.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.